hour and 70 minutes as some of the older ministry used to take. For one reason, at 2 o'clock, H and Betty will be married, and I have been invited to the ceremony to make it legal. So I hope to have a little bite to eat in between also the time. The songs were beautiful this morning. They were both new to me. And I never did quite figure out where we was going on that refrain of the first one. But they're still beautiful songs. And I may not figure out exactly where we're going in my scripture reading this morning. But maybe we can glean a little information from it, even though we don't thoroughly understand everything. I'm going to read from the 12th chapter of Revelations to start with. Let's see where my notes are. I don't get completely lost. 12th chapter of Revelations. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. It's pretty well accepted within the restoration that this woman with a son and clothed with a son is the church, or was the church back in Christ's time. And with the 12 stars, the 12 apostles that were at the head, as it would be, Christ, of course, being truly the head. But with that, the crown of 12 stars, these apostles were called by Christ. So they are not presuming to take Christ's place, but they were a result of Christ's calling. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a red dragon. And the dragon or snake about always refers to Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever name we might place upon it. I'd like to turn for a minute to the, well, maybe a little more than a minute, but to the 8th chapter of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had 2 horns, and the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I think we'll find that those 2 horns was the kingdom, the Medo-Persians, and one being a little more powerful than the other. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. I think we'll find that is now called Greece, or at that time Grecia. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with Caler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great, toward the south, and towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. I want to pay a particular attention to this little horn. The four horns that came up out in place of the horn of Greece or Grecia were four kingdoms that were there before Christ's time. And these horns finally broke down to be ten horns, ten kingdoms. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Exactly what the daily sacrifice, I don't guess I know the true definition of those words, but this is the gospel of Christ that was cast down or destroyed. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? Desolation. We've heard of desolation before, haven't we? It's seem to be a key word. How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? In other words, how long is this going to last? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days. Then shall the sacrifice be cleaned. Excuse me, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. In prophetic terms, a day is equal to a year. So there was going to be 2,300 years between the time of the... this is referring to, until it was going to be cleansed. So let's think about the numbers. Keep it kind of in the back of our mind for the moment. I thought about getting a little blackboard up here to write on, and then I thought, well, if anybody is interested in what I have to say or interested in listening to a tape, that which is on the blackboard wouldn't show up. So I thought, well, I'll just talk about it. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. Then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O man, son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Excuse me. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn which is between the eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And I didn't go ahead and name these four kingdoms. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That was just a little horn. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, but power of God. Oh, no. No, not by the power of God, from another power. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice. I don't mean practice like we practice songs, but it means practice like we might practice, lawyers practice law. Be their type of business. And shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of peace, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Therefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. I think we can understand at least parts of it now. I don't think we probably can understand all of it, but parts of it we can trace back to Revelation. Back to the third verse of chapter 3 in Revelation. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon the heads. Seven heads. I think that translates to seven mountains or seven hills. And do we know where there is a city that is noted for being occupying the land of seven hills? Rome. For many generations, it's been known as the city of seven hills. So I think we can pretty accurately pinpoint where these seven heads are. Rome. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Oh, this kind of goes back a little earlier then, don't it? Because a third of the host of heaven was cast down the earth much, much before this. So this is going back and telling a little bit of history. And his tail drew the third part of heaven. And the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her son as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. You know, in our literal thoughts of ruling with a rod of iron, that'd be a pretty harsh way to rule. However, if we look in the scriptures to the use of the rod of iron, we'll find that that is the gospel of Christ. Book of Mormon is very plain about the rod of iron that they followed. And I think this is the same rod of iron, the gospel of Christ. And she brought forth a man-child, undoubtedly Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Doesn't that reflect Christ? Wasn't he caught up to heaven? Resurrected, caught up to heaven. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. What's that a total? Well, what's a score? 20 years? Many of us remember in school that Gettysburg Address said 40 years ago, which was be a total of 90 years before 1964, which had been 1774 or so. This nation brought forth a new people, brought forth a new nation. So if we have 60, that's 60, and 1,000 would be 1,060, 1,260, so 1,260 or 1,260, any way you want to say it. That was how long the woman was to be fled into the wilderness. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. This is going back to a little history again. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Now we got a very definite and good definition for the serpent called the devil. And Satan, and sometimes Lucifer, it's not in here, but that's which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the heavens of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, knowing great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time, from the face of the serpent. Time and a half times. Back before the days of the calendars that we have now, the years were divided up into 12 months, and each month had 30 days. As we know, it'd be about 5 1/4 or some fraction of days left over. But they didn't keep very good track of those. They started each year again on that basis. So a time would be a year, which would be 360 days. Times, that'd be more than 1 year, so it'd have to be 2 years. That's 720 days. And a half time, that's 180 days. Now, if you're fast with the pencil or in your mind, we come up with the same number, 1,260. She is to be nourished for a time, times and a half time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth, out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. If we have any knowledge at all of history, and some of us don't have much, and that some of us include myself, I have a little dab here and there, but not nearly as much as I probably should have. But the church here nearly 2,000 years ago was persecuted, something terrible. And of the 12 apostles, we have a pretty good record of what happened to all except one, which was John. And they don't really know what happened to John. The scholars don't. The historians don't. They kind of presume that he died in the Isle of Patmos. However, if you read the Bible closely, Christ said something to the effect that what is to you if he endures till I return? Probably not the exact quotation, I'm sure it's not, but the idea is there. And it was discussed amongst them that maybe that's what the Lord meant, that he was going to endure until he returned. Yet the Bible says that wasn't exactly what they said, but that was just the thoughts that they got. We go to the Book of Mormon, we find that that indeed was true, that John was to endure until Christ returned. But the rest of the church was destroyed. Not by an outside force to come in and butcher them down, by a joining of a force unto the church to where it was destroyed from within. And you know, that is where we have to worry about most of our problems, is from within. That not from that which is outside, but that which is within. I want to go ahead and read chapter 13 with a few comments. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 heads again. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads a name of blasphemy. This is still Rome. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Those descriptions there can be fit with this, another visions that was given to Daniel. But I have no desire to follow that at this time. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. What was the dragon? That was Satan, the devil. The devil is at the bottom of this. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. There were 10 kingdoms that the Roman Empire was broken down into. And they were destroyed by the Lombards. They came to war against them. And this all transpired or finished about the year of 570, or exactly the year of 570 AD. But because of this little horn, which grew up, it was not completely destroyed. It was destroyed as far as a warring nations were concerned, but it was preserved as far as a spiritual abnormality, a spiritual opposition to God. And they worshiped the dragon. The dragon was again Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" He became very mighty. Nobody could make war with that beast. Even though he didn't have a country, even though he didn't have a big standing army, he had the influence of the whole world. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Well, if we add up 40 months, that's 40 times 30 is 1,200, and 2 months would be 60. Here we come to the 1,260 again. How long is it going to last? 1,260 days or 1,260 years? And when did it start, or when did it end? Well, if we have the ending, we can subtract the 1,260 from it and get the start. Or if we have the start, we can add 1,260 to it and get the end. And it came with the destruction of that 10 kingdoms, which was consummated in 570. And if you add 1,260 to 570, we come up with a number that is very familiar to most of us, if not all of us, of 1830. And what happened in 1830? That's when the church was restored, according to the laws of the land, April the 6th, actually. Well, did it start at noon on April 6th or midnight April 6th? Well, we can't splice it right down to the minute, and we probably can't even splice it right down to the exact year. But the day of April 6th was when, they, according to the laws of the land, the church was established. But it was started some little time before that, when an angel flying through the midst of heaven bring the everlasting gospel. And remember, that was everlasting. This is not to be taken away again. Everlasting gospel. This is from another place in the book of Revelations, and I didn't think to use that, but I think it's all right to say that. I'm not even going to look for it, but if you want to find it, it's there. And if you don't find it, why, I'll look for it for you. And they brought the Book of Mormon, brought the authority of the church, and brought the, the authority of the church is really the important thing. Book of Mormon is very, very important, but the authority of the church returning that which had fled into the wilderness for 1,260 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Though we may not be very familiar with the facts of history, I think we've heard terms at least. And one of the terms is the Dark Ages, when the only semblance of Christian nation was the Catholic Church throughout the Dark Ages. This church, of course, being headed by the Pope, which is, I hope, no shock to you to think that that is the beast here that this is talking about. Not a man, as an individual, because nobody has lived 1,260 years, but a succession of people taking the place down through the years. Oh, I've lost my place. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power is given them over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Well, does this make us exempt then, that we feel like our names are the Lamb Book of Life? No, not really. Because this had a beginning and an end. The beginning was 570 and the end was 1830. So we don't have the oppression of this beast now that was existent before. We don't have to worship him. If any man have an ear, let him hear. What does that word mean? If any man have an ear, let him hear. If you got any understanding, listen. Understand. Don't close your mind. Open it. He that leaveth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns, like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. The first beast, I believe, was the Roman Empire, the Romans. And the second, then, is the popes. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men. Very powerful man. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Should be. Well, now, this was written when? Oh, I don't know. Probably somewhere between the first century and the third century. I don't know when it was written. Maybe some of you can tell me when it's written, but it was a long time ago at least. It isn't something that's in our day right now for sure. So when he's speaking of something that's current, it's not current to us today, but it was current to the time that it was written. I want to back up to the 15th verse again. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, that him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That again, if we count it out, is 666. So this is a number that was put on a man, a number that a man was willing to take. And all good authority tells us that that was the Pope that carried this number of 666. And well, you might say, well, why, Jack, did you get into this today? Or what's your interest? My interest is to show that this is long since past. And that if we are to worry about the mark of the beast, or the number 666, and there's many around about us that you just mention the number 666 and they get all concerned and scared. Yes, it was something to be scared about, but not in our lifetime. This is lifetimes long time ago. How do I know this? Well, because his power was limited to 40 and 2 months, to times, times and a half time, to 1,203 score. However way you want to say it, it all comes up to the same thing. And this was started at the time of the 10 horns, the 10 kingdoms that were destroyed by the Lombards, 570, for 1,260 years to 1830. Yes, the Pope yields quite a little bit of power even yet, but no semblance of power that there was back in those times. So, if we are going to fear the number 666 and get all concerned, we're just doing ourselves harm. There's more important things for us to be concerned with. Not from an external source, not from an external force, or source, either one, I guess, but from an internal. And who internally within the church should we be afraid of? Who should I be afraid of? Jack. That's who I should be afraid of. Each one of you should be afraid of self. Because you can be yourself's worst enemy. You can be a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God. You can seek all kinds of things that would not be of God. You can ruin your own salvation. This is what happened to the early church. It came from within. Oh yes, an outside force got into it. But this gospel, which is brought to be an everlasting gospel, so it's not going to happen again. I can assure you that it's not going to happen again. And it makes me heartsick when I hear people worrying about the sign of the beast, worrying about the number 666. Because as I can read the scriptures, this all happened during that time of 1,260 years. And that's been gone for 160 years now. I'd like to read a little bit of history-like information. Written by people other than restoration people. But us that grew up on the farm and or in the city and haven't studied ancient history to any great degree, and that certainly includes me, and I suspect it includes about everybody here, we don't really know what happened. Now, I did in grade school, was told that it was too awful many years ago that it was unlawful for Jews to own land. I don't know if that's factual information or not, but I was told that in grade school. And it says here that they could not buy or sell. And I don't see it right at the minute, but I think I heard that. For sure I did. I've heard it all my life, so I think it's there. But how vicious this regime was is almost unbelievable. And what they claim for authority is almost unbelievable. Now, this here is taken from Bolton's The Great Antichrist. Whoever Bolton is, I have no idea. But at least it was written. And I suspect he had some basis for his writing it. I do make holy and unholy. I do justify the wicked. I do forgive sins. I open and no man shutteth. All the world is my diocese, and I am the ordinary of all men, having the authority of the King of Kings upon subjects. I am in all and above all. If these things that I do be said to be done, not of man, but of God, what do you make me but God? I, being above all, prelates, seen by this reason to be above all gods, whereupon no marvel, if it be in my power to change times and abrogate laws, to dispense with all things, yea, the precepts of Christ. Does that sound like the beast that we've been reading about? Very much so. And if you read other places in the Bible about this same beast, you'll find more description of it. And now I want to read a paragraph here from a Bible commentary written by Reverend Scott. And as he says here, a conservative writer. It says, no computation can reach the numbers who have been put to death in different ways on account of their maintaining the profession of the gospel and opposing corruptions of the Church of Rome. 1,000,000 of the poor Wallonese perished in France. 900,000 Orthodox Christians were slain in less than 30 years after the institution of the Jesuits. The Duke of Alva boasted of having put 36,000 to death in the Netherlands by the hand of the common executioner during the space of a few years. The Inquisition destroyed by tortures 150,000 Christians within 30 years. These are a few specimens, but a few of those which history has recorded. This is from history. He's just put it together. It's in history if we will want to look it up. But the total amount will never be known till the earth shall dissolve her in dispose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. These were put to death by the secular arm. He had no army of himself. Secular arm. By the power of which the empire was the head, and which subsisted in 10 kingdoms. For the persecuting ecclesiastical power, I can't pronounce it. You pronounce it suit yourselves. Condescended to employ kings and emperors as the executioners of its marvelous decrees. Now, if what I've been reading about was in our future, then we really should be shaking in our boots. But it's in the past. So what should we do when we see these things coming upon the world now? What does Scripture say? Lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we should have concern for our individual righteousness, our individual dedication to coming together often to worshiping God, turning aside the pulls of the world to go and do things that would take the place of God, of going to church. Ball games, campings, beautiful day out. What are we doing here? I know what we're doing here that are here, but we have lots that are not here. And that's what would worry me, is the members of our church that don't have the continued desire to be obedient to the Scriptures. And I don't know what all the disobediences are, but one of the things that we oft time are disobedient is to meet together oft. God has many blessings. God has performed many blessings for most everyone. To serve God in strange manners, but seeking not to change his ways, because he very plainly says that I change not. And so if he doesn't change, how can we change? How should we change, at least? Yeah, we can, but we certainly shouldn't. And my 70 minutes is not even up yet, let alone my hour. I thank you very kindly.